You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell y'all a quick story. We're live at Hooters, Mall of Georgia location. Come on out. We'll be here until 6. Mike and I go to Army-Navy every year. And last year, Army-Navy was at Gillette Stadium, which is where the—
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah. That's right. Last year.
Last year we were at FedEx Field.
No. We're going to Washington. We're going to the Eagles this year. That's right. It was Washington last year. Yeah. 2 years ago it was Patriots.
Foxborough, Washington. Now we go up to Philly.
Yeah. But this year it's in Philly. We're at Gillette Stadium. And if you've never been, New England Stadium is way out. It's not anywhere near Boston, by
the way. It's a drive, man. It really is.
One way in, one way out.
You go past Walpole Prison.
It's a ways. But it's beautiful out there. Yeah. And once you get there, like, you know, Robert Kraft's done a really good job, side story, of creating a battery-type facility where once the game's over, people are hanging out. It's cool. But we're in the stadium hours before anybody, teams, bands, and we're just looking around, and we look up, and we're like, damn, look over there. And they got all the championship Super Bowl banners hanging up. And Mike and I are just in awe. We're just kind of like, can we get one? And we're sitting there, and we're kind of talking to ourselves. Man, it'd just be nice to get one. They got six up here because Brady won one, obviously, in Tampa. Right, and Belichick won as a defensive coordinator in other places,
right.
But
two with the Giants.
Yeah, so we're sitting there, we're looking at that, and we're just admiring it. And I say that to say, today we're inside the indoor facility for the Atlanta Falcons because it was raining, and Falcon fans, you know, again, we wish you guys could be there every day, but sometimes weather doesn't permit. But inside of the indoor facility, many of you have never seen it. The Falcons have their banners up, 1980 and 98, NFC champions. 2010, 2010, 2016, 2016 NFC champions. No Super Bowl banners. We know that. But our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, come on, D.
What did he do? What did he say?
This is the stuff that people see and they go, see, man, D, he's a hater. D posted a video, Mike. Falcons haven't put up a banner in a while. And he's got this video, and he's posted it, and he said two NFC championships, blah, 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 NFC South. He says, I covered five of those banner teams because D's been doing it a long time. But it's like, this is the kind of stuff where, man, you know what? I want to see. Why didn't he put, I want to see a Super Bowl banner up there and stay there? They haven't done this in a long time.
That's, D, you know, you're right, man. Two NFC West, four NFC South.
Come on.
Two NFC titles.
I'd love him to say, we need a Super Bowl banner there this year.
And if we want a Super Bowl, it'd go right there.
It's right there.
But I mean, but that's really, if we're honest, no disrespect, that's not how D is wired. You know, D is kind of wired to, I don't know, maybe glass half empty. I
mean, glass half
empty. We love D. Too. I had a photo.
He's terrific.
Me and D were talking about what the shenanigans we're going to get into in Berlin, you know, and we were joking around about, you know, making the trip. But yeah, it's, I will say to Carl, before you told me you were going to mention this, I did have some of the same thoughts D said. When you think this team has been in existence since 1966, that all you got is that. You know, I mean, the law of averages would think you'd have, you know, maybe 10, 12. But, of course, for many of those years, the NFC West, you were looking up at the San Francisco 49ers, one of the greatest organizations in NFL history. And we would have had maybe more as far as NFC championships or maybe a Super Bowl if there wasn't two things, Dallas and the Cowboys, who beat the Falcons twice in years when the Falcons were freaking loaded. We've had these conversations with Steve Bartkowski and Billy White Shoes Johnson and, you know, and you name it, man. I mean, Mike Kent, all these guys that were around for some of those teams, you know, and Jeff Van Note. But it's just unfortunate that that's where we are. It's our lot in life. Next season will be our 60th year in the NFL.
Correct.
So I know where D's coming from. But, yeah, we do believe that the worm has turned, though, with what we got this year.
Let's go to Buffalo. How many of those banners do they have up?
Yeah.
They got four Super Bowl we have participated in. Like,
right.
go to around the league. Go look at the Cincinnati Bengals and how many of those banners they have up. That's the thing. This is one of those situations where you could go around the league, especially for teams that have been around. We're not talking about, like, the Houston Texans who got here in 02. Go around the league and start looking at these banners in these facilities, and you start to realize, Mike, there's only about five teams that have numerous banners that have been hung that they truly can say we had a dynasty,
right?
There's not 10 teams that have done this. So it's just interesting to me. It's one of those things that just jumped out to me like, you know what? We don't have enough. But, damn, I just want to see a Super Bowl better. I don't want to reminisce on what we don't have. Right. We know what we haven't accomplished.
And we know. I mean, look, we all know what happened. We've talked about it about 5,000 times over the years since Super Bowl 51 wrapped. Changes everything. Changes the trajectory of the perception of the city. Despite the fact the Braves won a World Series, Georgia's won back-to-back, the NFL still does kind of drive the bus. And it does sort of, you know, we have that sort of stigma. I wouldn't say Atlanta's Loserville. You can't be Loserville when you got – and by the way, I do, before we get into the argument State gets into with nerds on semantics, Georgia Bulldogs are part of the Metro Atlanta. It's the state of Georgia.
Yeah, it is.
Atlanta's in the state, thus Atlanta's part of the Georgia National Championship discussion. Not that complicated. Nerds. Okay, Braves, obviously.
Well, this is simple to me. If Texas wins the championship this year, everyone in the state of Texas is claiming
from
it.
From Dallas to Houston to San Antonio.
Absolutely.
Right.
So
it's Waco.
Correct. That's a simple
to concept. Amarillo.
I don't buy into that crap about Georgia's not a part
Carl,
of
this. To Beaumont.
To everywhere. To El Paso.
To hold on. There's Texarkana.
Keep going. But yeah, I don't buy into that either. Yeah, man, I just feel like go ask the Lions about banners. I mean, like, there's a lot of teams in this league.
They haven't won a championship since Eisenhower was president.
Correct.
Think about that, man.
Right.
Bobby Lane was the quarterback.
Go to their indoor facility and see. So it's hard, my point is, but for Falcon fans, like, that is the hope, and it just gets us back to this conversation, like, what's this team going to be? I don't know. God, I hope we're good. I really think we have a chance to be. I totally buy in and believe in our quarterback. I think B is special. That's Bijan. I do think Drake is going to be on another level this year. But when you start talking about, like, achieving the ultimate goal, Mike, of getting there, go look at some of these other teams, man. It's hard.
It's hard. That's why for the sake of argument, because mentioned, you know, where the Steelers are kind of trending, I said Mike Tomlin's becoming the new Marvin Lewis if he doesn't win some playoff games. The Bengals, 6 AFC North division titles. They got 3 Super Bowl appearances. Of course, they lost to the 49ers twice.
Twice.
And then they lost to the Rams.
Those loaded 49ers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially the one that's the one where they go, that's the famous Joe Montana and the 2-minute drill where he's long TV timeout and he goes to Harris Barton. Hey, look, John Candy's eating popcorn. And they go right down the field. Hits John Taylor at Joe Robbie Stadium and the rest is history. But, yeah, that's kind of like where we're living. We got the same kind of facility. We've got 2 Super Bowl appearances. They've got 3.
All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. It's about where we're going. That's what we're talking about. That's where I'm at. I don't live in the past, Mike. I want to live in the future. But it is kind of crazy to look up and see all those minutes. Because I kind of forgot how many NFC championships we had won. We've been crowned NFC champions twice here. 2012, guys, a team should have won the Super Bowl. That team should have won the Super Bowl. I'm telling you.
And by the way, just it's off subject to a degree. Bear with me. That's why I get so angry, you know, with the Braves. I was talking to Wes, he's like so angry on the radio. I go, no, when I'm talking about the Braves, it comes from the heart. If we're talking about the Braves. The Braves won the World Series in 21, and you should have just gone all your chips in and go get as much starting pitching. Keep that nucleus. We all know the Freddie thing was a screw-up. Just give Freddie the 6-year because you lost a major force in that clubhouse, and let's go to work. And maybe keep Dansby for the same thing. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't spend that money. And now, again, 2023. I mean, one of the best offenses the Braves ever rolled out, got nothing to show for it. That's why when you've got the chance to grab the brass ring, to your point, and be a dynasty.
Got
to
do it.
You got to put the chips in. And Terry McGurk and the Braves don't allow Alex to put those chips in.
Gotta
that drives
it.
Me crazy.
And by the way, quick
NFL's got a salary cap. Completely different animal.
Harder.
Once you've got the core and you've got salary control, just like the Seahawks should have had 2, maybe 3, and blew it against the Patriots.
Yeah.
But that's at least 2.
2. It should have been. And by the way, the Eagles, just saying, get back this year and win another one, guys. We're back in another dynasty. I mean, we're talking about 2 here in the last 3 years. And remember,
Jalen's played in 2. You're right.
Now we're talking about something. And I don't know if they will, but, like, they have all the makings to get back. Mike, they're on the come. Let's get to 4th and 1. HBO Hard Knocks premieres tonight featuring the Bills every stinking year. I don't care. It's not my team. Okay. And then I find myself vested in a team I don't even care about. And I'm going to watch because the Josh Allen stuff, you know, Sean McDermott, they've got some things they got to figure out.
You got a James Cook holdout. Will it be as compelling as the Darrell Revis holdout for the Jets? We'll find out. But you got a potential hold in with James Cook, not a holdout, but he's upset. We just said he's put up the numbers, the stats speak for themselves. So you'll have that storyline. The problem that drives me crazy with HBO and Hard Knocks everything seems to drop when the cameras are off. Remember when Antonio Brown had the meltdown with the Raiders? None of that made it to the Hard Knocks.
That's right.
You got everything just supposition, guys talking about what happened. We talked about, you know, the Bills year would have been 2 years ago when Stephon Diggs has the whole, remember the whole argument with McDermott? Eventually they trade him?
Yes.
That would have been the year you wanted the Hard Knocks. We'll see where it goes this year. But I'm like Carl. There's too many Hard Knocks. I think they made too much of it. The in-season one last year with the Giants. The in-season with all the divisional teams.
Did you get into the in-season?
It's too much going on. It's too much.
It's a lot.
It's too much to watch. But I will say that this is the one that I will be watching like you. I get sucked in. It is the ultimate soap opera for men.
I totally agree. That starts tonight, by the way. And Teddy Bridgewater, guys. Who doesn't like Teddy Bridgewater? Reportedly, Mike, leaving high school with the plan to return back to the NFL, and now it is official. The Bucks were, ironically, he's back in our division. He played for the Saints, right? He's played a lot of different places, but Teddy is so respected around the league, but he signs with the Bucks. He passed his physical, and so he is going to back up, of course, you know, Baker Mayfield, but he's 32. And, like, we keep seeing Teddy, like, in and out of the NFL. He's not old,
and Teddy was doing a great job coaching high school football, came out of his own pocket to get actually equipment that's up to date, and some other coaches dropped a dime on him. That obviously saw that he was keeping talent in that neighborhood so people couldn't just move their zip code over and somebody go rent an apartment or live with grandma.
That's right.
To lose and pilfer his talent. So he basically said, enough of this nonsense, and now he's looking to get back, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Because he was really putting some sweat into that, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into that, and he got screwed for it.
Lions in 24, that's who he played for. Then he came out of retirement. That's when he's backed up Jared Goff. But he's been all over the place, man. And then, you know, we talk about all the teams, but he is back in the league and certainly back for another stint with the Bucks.
How do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do with the Steelers and Arthur Smith? What do you think?
I think he's going to be fine.
Over 30, over under, 30 touchdowns.
Over. Look, I am one of these people who have more optimism about this particular move than most. The only reason or the only thing that could derail this, because I don't think Arthur Smith is going to derail this, Mike. He screws this up, he's done. You can't go three seasons where your offense is crap, regardless of who your quarterback is, and they got to stay the course. So I think he understands that. And then if Aaron gets hurt, that changes everything. But if you're telling me Aaron's going to be healthy, I think he throws for 30 touchdowns. He threw for 24 last year.
Tomlin's on the hot seat. Arthur Smith's second year as the OC. Christopher Barbre of Steeler Nation saying that concern amongst Steeler fans and other media in Pittsburgh is not enough balls going down the field. Short passes, check downs in practice. That could be a statement about how good the offense is, or Aaron grasping, you know, Arthur Smith's offense. Anyway, they got a month to get it right, but waiting to see that DK Metcalf connection hasn't really happened of late. Again, hadn't seen any big deep balls. You're not getting those ooh and ah moments, but that kind of sounds like Arthur Smith when he was here. Wasn't what we were getting either.
Yeah.
Now, some of that was a delivery system. We had some awful quarterbacks other than Matt Ryan.
Look, we're going to find out a lot because you talk about excuses being off the table, right? DK Metcalf can stretch the field. He went and got his boy Jonnu Smith. And you had a better quarterback, allegedly, than you had the last two seasons there. He's got to do something. I can't wait to see how that shakes out. By the way, Justin Fields back on the practice field. We really didn't mention this because that first day everybody was freaking out. He got carted off or at least jumped on a cart. He's been back practicing. He's back with the Jets.
Well, you know, we got to get our friend Mary Kay Cabot on from Cleveland Plain Dealer talking about Browns. You know, you realize that Shedeur Sanders could start the season on the practice squad? Jackson Dart, by the way, listed as number 3 on the Giants' first depth chart.
Hey, man, coming up, our interview with Ryan Neuzel, starting center for our Atlanta Falcons. Find out about his journey coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You must remember this is the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell with Ryan Neuzel, our starting center for the Atlanta Falcons. We've not had a chance to really visit with you, man. I mean, we've been talking about you a lot. Right. You got a lot of playing time last year, and I think, you know, obviously that played a role in them seeing you as the guy. Talk about that experience, man, because we weren't talking about you, which meant there was no fall off when you were in there last season.
No, it was good. I mean, starting the year as a backup, obviously you have to be ready for any events that happen, anything that goes down. So I got called on, and I was – fortunate enough just to be able to fill the role for the time being, and I was very fortunate just to keep things rolling.
And congratulations on the contract, by the way, 2-year extension. What's been the hardest part? Or when you jumped in last year, was it just finding chemistry with Bergeron and Lindstrom?
Yeah, the hardest thing is that first game. You kind of get thrown in the fire. Like, was it 2-minute drill versus the Chiefs for me? So that's always the hardest part. But then you get down to like the week prep and you really hone in just on all the looks and just getting all the reps. And it definitely makes it a lot easier week by week.
Ryan, when you go in a situation like that, everybody got crazy eyes, right? They're looking around. You run in a huddle. Get your mind right, right? They're looking at you like you're crazy. Is that how it goes?
No, I probably had the crazy eyes. I mean, you just got to kind of flip the switch from just kind of keeping your head ready, like spectating the game, and then just throwing in right away on like those situations. You just got to stay ready.
Fans don't pay enough attention to offensive line, but Jake Matthews was talking about it and saying, you know, Ryan Neusel, you got to do all the – there's a lot of responsibility that comes to being the center.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with just like – IDing the front and just getting everyone on the same page, kind of just reacting to what the defense gives us and presents, and then just working on that.
Can you give us an example? You are walking up to the line and the first thing you see and you say is?
I mean, it changes every time, so it's no real thing. But it depends. Run, pass, like just calling out the mic really starts with the first like set point.
So you're calling his number out?
Yep, calling out his number.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, he's not giving us any secret sauce here.
So there's some big 350-pound nose tackle over you. I mean, and all this is going on in real time, right?
Yeah, it all goes in real time, especially when like when we're on the road and we have to go on the silent cadence. Like sometimes I have to make the call. Like then I just put my head between my legs and look for the – look for the quarterback's foot to just snap the ball. Sometimes the picture changes when the head goes up.
Speaking of quarterbacks, we're talking with Ryan Neusel, guys, starting center for Atlanta Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell. Tell us about Penix, man. That connection with you guys. Look, we can make fun of this because we went through a period here, right, 15, where our center was not getting the ball at the time, Matt Ryan. And we were like, we can't get the ball to the quarterback. So we don't take that lightly. What's that like, the connection with you guys?
No, it's good. Penix is very vocal and very on top of things. So it definitely helps. And then just being able to relay stuff, like if the snap's just a little bit off, just telling me to get it right and get it going.
Talking with Ryan Neusel, guys, as we mentioned, he is our center. He's a Central Florida guy from Bradenton, from Braden River, so you got to be a good fisherman. Yeah, mangrove snapper?
No, not too much snapper. I mean, just grew up just bass fishing.
Okay,
just a lot of places.
Yeah. And then App State, by the way. Talk about your journey and how you got recruited and how you wound up in Boone.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate up in Boone to get my start there. I started as tight end. They came down and visited me, and they told me, probably be better for you to be interior line. But went on a visit there, absolutely loved App State, and just fell in love with the school, the campus, the staff, and it was just like, how bad could it be to start O-line?
Yeah, not a bad future, huh? Yeah. Things worked out. So you got good hands, good feet if you were tight end.
I was probably average, speaking that they did move me to O-line, but I like to think that they were pretty good.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, as Ryan Neusel is with us, guys. He told me a story. You were playing against one of Michael Irvin's kids' teams, and you were playing tight end, and he was talking trash to some DB. Don't let that kid beat you.
Yeah, no, we played like St. Thomas Aquinas out there, and that was, that was one heck of a roster. So they were just star-studded on the defensive side.
Right.
Ryan, who's the jokester on this offensive line, man? You got a lot of vets now. I mean, obviously, McGarry is a vet. All of a sudden, like, we look up, he's been here like 6-7 years. Who's the jokester?
It's got to be Bergeron.
Really?
Yeah, he's for sure the jokester. He just keeps things light, entertaining, and, I mean, just keeps it fun.
You've been here a couple of years, and now with camp, we feel like there's an energy, and even the veterans are talking about, usually when we ask about playoffs, guys go, we'll take it one game at a time. Seems like there really is a mission now to take it to the next level this season.
I mean, it just seems like every year we just keep building. So this year, I mean, it's definitely looking good, and, I mean, I think we have some good pieces.
Talk about the cohesion with the O-line. We talked to Jake a little bit about this. He was kind of remembering, you know, the line that he was with in 2016 when this team went to the Super Bowl. And he was like, he feels like the group is close that way. Describe that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, ever since I've been here, Jake, Chris, and Caleb have been here. So it's kind of great just being able to stay with those guys. Then Bergeron going into year three, looking like really comfortable with everyone. And it's just kind of really nice just having the same unit together.
Now's a chance for us to do the good cop, bad cop, and spill the tea. Are there any secret plays you can share with us? Something new from Zach Robinson? How explosive is this offense going to be, Ryan Neusel?
Come on!
No, can't do anything like that. No, just run the ball, throw the ball, get in the end zone.
But there is a toughness and a mentality about teams that can run the football, and the Falcons have a rep around the league as being that kind of tough team, and now you're a part of that. Is that an attitude you're born with or develops through your coming up through college?
No, it definitely starts with Led, the O-line coach. I mean, just beat off the ball, starts there, and just being tough, finish, and just kind of just having the edge when you run the ball, make it count.
Dwayne Ledford, he's talking about the O-line coach here. Ryan Neusel with this guy. It's Dukes and Bell. Speaking of that, you kind of made him have to make a decision, right? I mean, you wouldn't go away. You just kept showing up and making plays and doing what you needed to do. I mean, I find that interesting because some guys maybe get frustrated knowing, all right, maybe I'm not going to get a shot. You don't know what's going to happen. But he speaks highly of you and the motivation you had to make this happen for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was just step by step every year. Start of the year, my rookie year on practice squad, just trying to do everything I could just to stick around. And then year two, some injuries happened. I was able to get on the active roster. Kind of just honestly was the same thing, just giving all the practice looks and just having the chance that I could get in. And then year three, I was fortunate enough to just get some actual playing time and really build on that. And then obviously last year, got some real playing time and just fortunate to be here.
Offensive linemen generally have the rep as being kind of low-key guys, but you know, you get a contract, two-year deal, you got some roots now in the NFL. You buy anything fun for yourself this offseason?
Did buy a house. Yeah, had a wedding. So those are the two really big purchases around here. Nothing truly fun yet, no. solely just working through the house. That's enough.
Right.
Ryan, as we talk about this team, what's your sense? What do you feel? Like, you've been around football all your life. You've been on good teams. What's your sense here with what you've seen so far?
I just think everyone wants to go and get theirs. I mean, everyone's ready to just go out there week one, kind of just get things rolling, and everyone's just hungry.
Well, we appreciate your time, bro. Again, congratulations on the contract, and look forward to seeing you doing all that stuff you've been doing, man, the anchor of our offensive line. By the way, you set any expectations for yourself? Do you believe those PFF rankings, which we don't understand?
No, just trying to finish the year and do great.
All right.
Anything about these scuffles that we've seen? I got to ask you that. Yeah. Anything? I mean, I know it's just a part of the game, but it's happening a lot out here. Like, it's been fun, but, I mean, like, I think it was Chris Lindstrom said yesterday, it's elevating guys. How do you sense what goes on in the trenches there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just camp scuffles. Happens everywhere. But, obviously, when a few of those break out, then it's like, okay, this next play, like, we got to go on both sides right. of the ball. Like, can't have, like, a little scuffle break out, and then everyone's, like, elevated, and then one side really beats up on the other next play. Everyone gets a little elevated, you said.
And Coach Rod takes care of his starters in the preseason. Are you looking forward to, I presume, seeing the Titans? And that's some of these scrimmages, these in week workouts with the Titans, seem like that's where we're really going to see some physicality and see guys really establish themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a good D-line up front, so it'll definitely be a dogfight up there.
Ryan Neusel, man, good luck. Appreciate you stopping by, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Likeable dude, man. We talked about it. We talked about it off the air. He's from Brayton High, just inland from Bradenton down in Florida. And he talked about his trip to App State, and his quarterback followed him from his high school up there to Boone. So just a good dude. And after, you know, kind of grinding, practice squad, gets a spot. And then, of course, as we said yesterday and said in the interview, when he took over for Drew Dahlman, we didn't really skip a beat. So that's why they were able to, if you guys weren't following, they always could match any offer a team would make. So no team really made an offer. It wasn't like they didn't believe this guy could play the position for them. Team just knew, just like the Lamar Jackson scenario with the Ravens a couple years ago, we could always match it.
It felt like they just sat back and let this play out a little bit, didn't
right.
they? Like they knew they were going to lose Dahlman, then the Bears sign him, and then they were just like, we're fine. And we were, at the time, guys, if you remember, in the offseason, we kept saying, are they going to address this center thing? Because we weren't hearing anything. They didn't have to do anything because no one else offered. With that said, I'm glad they did. Look, I'm confident in a couple of things in this team. And it's funny, Day-Day was asking us today. He's got Yeah Man, No Man coming up. But we were at practice, and he said, you know, name the five best things about offense and defense, or the five best players. And we started talking about this, and Mike had a few, and I had a few. But, like, the one thing that I'm pretty confident in is this O-line is going to be fine. Like, this is the same group that went to battle last year and was really productive in the run game. Guys, the passing game was not as productive, not because of the O-line. You had a quarterback that fell apart for 5 weeks. I mean, 9 picks in 5 weeks, Mike. That middle of the season that takes away from the job the O-line was doing. What right. if Cousins was great during those 5 weeks? How much better does this O-line look?
Right. I mean, if we know that the one thing that happened, McGarry had just one of those crazy, you know, one in a million slips, the feet lock. Instrument, of course, wham, Cousins goes down, and then there goes our season, basically. But the ratings, and we did mention it with Chris Lindstrom, it's a little hard to kind of figure out how the PFF guys do this stuff. I know Chris Collinsworth, you know, he bought the end of the company because he believes in it.
Believes it.
But, I mean, sometimes there's double teams. Sometimes it's not always cut and dry about what your responsibility is. If you're pulling and there's no one to block, I mean, how do you they've got grades for everything. But sometimes it's a little, I don't know, a little confused about their tactics.
Yeah. It's the good news is these guys are grading out well, and hopefully they can build on it of the season. We got more of Falcons conversation coming up, but when we come back, Yeah Man No Man's next, live from Hooters Mall of Georgia.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick reminder for you guys, cut down day is what every pro football player dreads. But this year, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is celebrating cut down day by giving you a chance to cut down, yeah, your own yard in style on August 27th at 4 p.m. when the pro football cut deadline hits. We'll be giving away one lucky listener, should I say, a Rolex Reel mower. And this could be you. I mean, these mowers are unbelievable. It's a chance for you to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules, enter guys at 929thegame.com. That's, again, is going to happen August 27th at 4 o'clock. Cut down day is interesting. By the way, do you think we'll hear some big names from our team? I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, I mean, there are some guys, you know, the depth chart. I think the linebacker position is interesting because we got more depth there than we've ever had. You know, I mean, that's one of the things, you know, Coach Rod talked about it yesterday. You know, it's been, let's be honest, Dean Pease making lemonade out of lemons. Ryan Nielsen kind of doing some of the same. And then, you know, this year now all of a sudden you're like, wow, does Troy Anderson make this team?
No.
You know, can't make the team if you're not playing.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that, Mike. I mean, honestly, I don't think so.
Is Braylon Trice going to be able to show that he's coming back from this knee injury? Literally just about a year ago today. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're not going to cut bait on a second round or a third round or the second year. But still, I think the linebacker position / pass rusher is kind of an interesting spot where the depth is.
Okay. Your chance to win one of those mowers, guys. Again, Rolex Reel Mower. Pretty cool giveaway. Hey, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we've got a lot more to dive into, including some college football, and you'll hear from A.J. Terrell, who sat down with the morning shift. That's on the way, but right now let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
Hey, do you need to wet your whistle with a seltzer? What was he drinking last time, Carl?
I don't know. High Noon.
High Noon.
High Noon. I said to Day-Day, where we come from, that's a mixer. You'd mix that with vodka. Would you like to try a High Noon with some vodka with it?
I'm okay today.
All right.
My nerves aren't as bad today.
Okay. All right, man.
All right, fair enough.
Let's rock and roll. What you got?
All right, guys. Let's get into it on a Tuesday. First up. 25 years ago today, or not today, but 25 years ago, ABC turned to Dennis Miller to add to their Monday Night Football broadcast booth. Stint lasted shockingly 2 years.
Did it really?
Yes.
You know, Carl, I grew up at the temple of Chuck Knoll growing up in Pittsburgh, and I got to tell you, I loved Dennis Miller, loved his stand-up routine, loved him on SNL. That was tough.
Yeah.
That was really tough.
Well, it showed in the ratings. Ratings tanked his first season, and after that second season, Miller and Dan Fouts were fired. Yeah, man, no, man, that may have been the worst Monday Night Football experiment in history.
I mean, Carl, I don't need Archimedes to figure this one out. I mean, let's try to run the football. Right, babe?
No, I will tell you the shock value of hiring Rush Limbaugh.
That was awkward from the jump.
It was weird just to be like, we're going to bring in Rush, and you were like, really?
All the guys hate him.
That was probably the one. Because you knew.
On the set.
Yes. He was going to come in and just be.
Right.
Right. A very controversial figure. And he was. But I would tell you that much more shocking than the Dennis Miller. But they've done this a couple of different times.
Tony Kornheiser, that was tough. I mean, I love Tony on, you know, again, great columnist. Love him on Part of the Interruption. But that was not easy. They were just trying to find that Howard Cosell magic.
Right.
And it's a wonder because Stephen A. is like a poor man's Howard Cosell, right? Bombastic. Always drive, you know, moving the needle, saying outlandish things.
Right there.
Exactly. That man. Now, by the way, now for you youngsters out there, guys, you're not going to believe this. Before there was a thing called ESPN and the TV stopped at 13, Carl and I talk about this. The only highlights you'd ever get would be that Monday night halftime with Howard Cosell.
Right there.
I mean, think about that. Look at Jim Hart throw it to Otis Anderson.
Crazy.
That's the only place you got your highlights.
And
Don Meredith, and you're messing with Howard because, you know, Giff and Meredith were the jocks picking on Howard. It was gold. Remember that? It's all parts of our childhood.
But it worked.
It was great.
That was the original.
Rune Arledge producing.
That's at the height of Monday Night Football.
Right.
Now Sunday Night Football is Monday. What was Monday Night Football? It's still Monday Night.
But Monday's so strange. The fact you divide your audience for the broadcast.
Right.
On the select
with the broadcast.
Games. And, of course, I'm Joe, who I like much. I've loosened so much.
He's gotten better.
You never really had a problem with Joe like I did.
I didn't, because I got a chance to visit with him. And like, some of these guys, they put on this persona when they're on. And he was one of those, to Mike's point. That's why it came off that way. He seemed very arrogant. Right. When you meet Joe Buck, he's not that guy.
Very friendly in person.
But I think now he's even more loose than he's ever been, which is why you're digging him.
Remember when he had Brockmire?
Yeah. And I'll say this, too. Part of that was his baseball background.
Right.
I'm going to tell you guys. He had a lot to live up to. His dad was incredible.
Everyone loved Jack Buck.
And so coming up, Joe, he always had that in his like, I got to be great. So I'm just telling you, like, that's the backstory about why he was so tight.
Right.
But he's good, man. He's good.
Yeah. All right, moving on. This riding up the Flowery this morning, Steak said something.
What did I say as I was entertaining all of Atlanta today, Carl?
What?
Was there something in your throat?
There's a blue-collar side to me.
I didn't get a chance for a nosh. I had half-chewed bagel. Got caught in my aorta.
He was talking about Matt Ryan, and he mentioned Mount Rushmore of Atlanta sports figures.
That's lazy take, Steve.
Right. So as I was riding.
Slow day on a Tuesday.
As I was
let's
riding.
Let's do what we did 15 years ago.
This is what's going to happen. Someone's going to hear what we said.
It's been true.
And it's going to get flipped around. Right.
It's been true. Yeah,
and then he's going to be mad at me.
Telling me Steak did Mount Rushmore?
No.
Did he say it, but not
specifically.
Answer the question.
Answer it.
Answer. Did Steak specifically say a Mount Rushmore?
He mentioned it. It was just part of his.
You answer me.
Now, for those who don't, real quick, we live in a very literal time, and social media has driven that. We're joking because there was a perception amongst folks that do what we do for a living that is literally the worst, laziest argument you could ever do on a day.
What it's are like, we doing today?
You know,
yeah, that wasn't the.
Let's do our Mount Rushmore of Braves, 404-726-09. I've got to go with Hammer and Hank Aaron. I never got to see Warren Spahn pitch, but I got to imagine Warren Spahn would be in that. Mount Rushmore, Carl, and of course, maybe Greg Maddux. And
I know
Shipper.
Nothing about football. And most listeners would say, amen.
Yeah, well, maybe. I've got Mike Vick over Matt Ryan. Well, what's yours?
I'm going to go with Jeff Van Note, Tommy Nobis. No, I mean, like I said, it's subjective. There's no, I mean, but it is one of those, and that's why we're joking for those who don't get the joke. Why we're like, don't tell me that Steak actually did.
No,
Mount
he
Rushmore.
Didn't actually
I love any
do
show where I do no research. It's so much easier.
Stop it,
come on, man. People are going to think we did these like and recorded them back at the studio or something. Go ahead. What's the question?
Now that you guys have said all that, it got me to thinking when he said that. I was like, well, who is? Because to your point, Mike, it's very subjective.
Right.
So who is it? So for me, just spitballing, I was like, I guess I would go with Dominique Wilkins, Chipper Jones, Hank Aaron, Matt Ryan. Yeah, ooh. Man, no man. Would you make those four?
I mean, Smoltz.
Do your
Glavin,
show.
You could. I mean, I could do it all Braves if I wanted to. Matt Ryan never gets the love or respect. Mike Vick was such an amazing talent, but
that's what I said this morning.
Inconsistently, you know, amazing, but never took us to the promised land. And I know we came up short, but Matt did his part. But yeah, Matt never gets the love. And Matt came into, as we know, a very trying set of circumstances when Matt came in as the heir apparent for Mike Vick. But for Atlanta. I mean, geez, Louise. I still think Dominique does certainly, you know, if Dominique's in New York, you know, like he's one of the top 75, or he was top 50, right?
Yeah. He was.
Right? He was up?
He was top 50.
Top
50. Yeah.
So Nick's legacy stands on its own. Matt, Hank Aaron, you know, hard, man. Because I love, you know me, I love Smoltz, I love Glavin. Maddux is one of the greatest to ever dress out.
Yeah.
hard to look back. I know there was time in Chicago, but that's such a difficult argument to hammer down to those four.
Yeah. It's not.
Do your show.
It's not. Henry Aaron. Nothing beats Henry Aaron. Yeah. Right.
Nothing.
He's the top of the list. You mentioned basketball with Dominique. There's nobody has been bigger in this city than Dominique.
Right.
The part that gets difficult is what Brave are you leaving off of the greats?
Because there are a lot.
Right. From the three pitchers to Chipper, mm-hmm. everybody can't make it. Right.
So you probably got to go with Maddux.
Who had the most wins? Who won the most Cy Youngs? Who had the most impact?
But here's the thing. Maddux isn't the guy I want pitching in Game 7. Well, I want Smoltz on the mound for
that. I understand. But that's not the question. We're comparing.
But baseball's record. Baseball is more about the records than the results.
Correct. And that's when you start talking about, okay, what was their impact? That's the hard part.
Right.
You got five Braves outside of Henry Aaron.
Wait, we can't do this. We're doing the four. We're doing the Mount Rushmore.
What are you talking about?
We're not doing that. We're actually having. We just said we can't do this.
What do you mean? It's just been done on the station before?
Do your show.
And by the way, what about Herschel Walker? Now, senatorial campaign aside.
No, we're basically on his sports career.
Herschel was amazing.
But see, I left Herschel off. No, not to be disrespectful, but like to me, if you said Mount Rushmore of guys in that.
Right.
Georgia sports, okay.
Right.
You're talking about professional sports at the highest level. Kershaw's on that outside looking in for me. I'm going with, to your point, Chipper was great, but I got to put one of those pitchers in because they were too incredible.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Are we finished?
Yeah, we're done.
Wow.
All right. We're standing on the gridiron. Drake London. We know that it's time for money talks.
You said Drake London.
No, not for the list.
No, Orin, you just said Drake London.
But don't push me.
Thank you. Yes.
Again, we just created a new. This is Pavlov's dog.
Yes.
Can't say the name without playing the music.
There you go. He's a killer.
He's a killer. He's a natural born killer.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of the killer,
Jerry Lee Lewis. This is the natural born killer.
Yeah, man, no man.
This thing's gone off the rails.
Yes. If contracts negotiations have not been reached,
would you stop, Orin? Go ahead.
By the way, tomorrow, the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches tomorrow. 10 o'clock.
By the third week of preseason.
The Reuben has got to be in there.
Should he just table
French
it
dip.
And head into the season?
I can pick
season
a cheeseburger up better than he can, so I got that.
Orin, if you don't
wait. I didn't hear anything you said. I didn't hear anything you said. Do it again. Do it again.
I'd go French dip, Reuben.
You guys are going to have steak on me now.
No.
I'm going to get a text.
He might call in. With all this, with the way we're going, he might call in. You know he's prone to do that.
Fashion BLT.
He's prone to do that.
Do you consider a patty melt a sandwich?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, I do.
All right. No man.
I think Drake won't say anything about his contract. Please, Steak. This is not your show. But Drake, I think because he is a guy who keeps his head down, does
question?
The work. I think Drake's going to be looking for his agent will be doing the work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I don't think we see a ripple. I still think Drake gets a contract before the season starts. I'm going to stick with that.
I hope so.
Because it's cheaper to do it now.
Oh, big time. I think, Mike, it also sends a good message to the other guys that are coming. They're on the come. that you're going to pay and take care of the guys that you need to take care of. And, look, you want to have a great franchise. Part of having a great franchise is how front office deals with their stars. And so we unfortunately have not been in a position to have multiple stars where our front office has had to deal with it. Let's be honest. We paid Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. We paid Julio. Mm-hmm. Who else did we pay? Seriously.
Right. Grady.
We haven't had multiple guys where you're like, man, we got to take care of this guy, that guy. And this is the first time with Terry Fontenot in this regime to say, we drafted young stars, talent, they've proven it. We got to take care of them. And that's how you attract other guys that want to come.
You don't do what Jerry Jones is doing.
Correct. That's exactly right. So I think it's a big deal. And, Mike, I hope it is before that. But Drake's not going to take this public, guys. He's not going to be negotiating in the public and saying things he doesn't need to say. He knows they want to get this deal done.
Garrett Wilson got his deal, which kind of sets the market.
Absolutely.
And I think those numbers should be along those lines because he's a top six, top five wide receiver. But I don't think he's going to make a fuss. This isn't Tariq Hill. This isn't a guy being a diva. That's not in his DNA because he's a natural born killer.
He is.
Last one. ACC and ESPN plan to take you under the hood as they will bring a new initiative in which viewers will hear real-time deliberations between on-the-field referee, press box, and leagues and the league's command center. Now, this is all a result of two of Miami's games last year. That
Miami got, I mean,
the Virginia Tech game and then the Cal game.
They got hosed. Miami, there really was a feeling, and I have to recuse myself as a Florida State Seminole booster, but I don't know how you felt. It was almost like the ACC was, we're gonna have a viable team in this playoff come hell or high water, and that's why, I mean, it was such an egregious, the way they put time on the clock, it just gave them everything, to every opportunity to keep advancing and basically keep the perfect season going at the time.
So they're giving us an opportunity to make it feel as though there's nothing going on.
Basically.
Nefariously.
Yeah, so yeah, okay. Man, no, man, this is a good move.
Transparency.
By the network and the conference.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say yeah, man. I think that with the gambling aspect of this too, right?
Right.
There's just too – we have to Mike's point, we have to be transparent in these situations. I cannot feel like a conference is pushing one team or another or trying to make sure that one of their squads gets in the playoff based on some bad calls and now they're overturning them. Let me hear all that's going on with the calls, how would things shake out, what the refs think, what the guys upstairs, back in New York, wherever this is going on. I'm all for it. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, that Virginia Tech Hail Mary against
Miami,
that
was one that just
– AC, because I watch a lot of ACC football. They're the worst of all the major conferences. I think they're the most incompetent.
Referee?
And I do think – yeah, and I think that they're just
that sounds personal.
They're so conservative. No, because Tobacco Road is just like white bread with – North Carolina. It's white bread with mayonnaise. Heaven forbid you're going to – oh, we'd let so-and-so go. He's no longer – the same – clowns basically get to keep their jobs.
Has your team been screwed by those officials?
Oh, yes, Carl.
It's personal.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But no, I've always felt that, and I think the SEC is a close second. Whatever game you're watching. But no, I do think this is great to hear. I think it's going to be interesting to see just, I hope they're on point, because you may just realize it is Keystone Cops when some of these refs put their heads together.
All right, there it is. That's your Yeah Man, No Man for a Tuesday.
Mm. Good stuff, man. By the way, this just hit. Colts head coach Shane Steichen said that Anthony Richardson will start the Colts' first preseason game Thursday against the Ravens before Daniel Jones starts their second preseason game.
Okay.
So I guess he's giving each one of those guys separate time in each game.
A half or a bunch of series. He had said last, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, Anthony Richardson said it's not about me versus Daniel Jones, it's me versus me. Basically, where it's be your best and do your thing.
I agree. Look, he's got all the talent. I don't know if he's going to be able to put it together.
It's raw, man.
It's raw.
Should have stayed in college.
But,
one more year.
But that's what they're doing. So Shane Steichen's trying to figure out his quarterback situation. So Richardson – and, Mike, this is the deal. Even though the Falcons aren't starting either one of our guys, right, and Cousins and certainly Penix, you are going to look around the NFL. Stuff like this is going to be happening. These preseason games, this is the only reason I watch a series or two comparative to some other games that may not have as much interest because you do have a quarterback battle going on.
Right. We had some guys out today at tackle too, which, again, if it's just simply rest, it's rest. But if it's something more, don't want any of our quarterbacks behind backups.
Absolutely. We'll tell you about that when we come back, and we'll talk some college football next.
Who is it? Sungmae Kim?
Sung J.M., yeah.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.